Okay. Yeah, it'll come up in a second. Really, we looked at, starting we looked at verse 17 where it says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And we talked a lot about sanctification. We talked about the three kinds of sanctification. And before we ran and just passed that by, even though we spent a lot of time on it this week, I want to look at it a little more practically this week before we move on to this idea of unity in which Christ prays for next. He says, sanctify them thy word, or verse 17, it says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Oh, didn't grab it. Says I'm connected. I'll stop mirroring and try it again. All right. So he said, sanctify them in these verses. In verse 19 it says, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. And so I just want to take a real practical look for just a few minutes. I'm not going to spend most all night on this, but just to zoom on by this idea, just to talk about, we talked about positional sanctification. We said that is when God sees us through the blood of Christ, and so that we are able to go to heaven even though we still sin. We say no sin's allowed into heaven, but because of our positional sanctification, we are seen as righteous as Christ. And so in a real way, we are just as righteous as He is because of our positional sanctification. And then we talked about glorification for just a minute, and we said at some point when we leave this world, whether it's through the rapture or through death, we will go and enter into God's presence and we will be glorified. We will be perfect even as He is perfect. I can't imagine that. Can't imagine living a life without the flesh, but I am looking forward to it. But then we said there is something called a practical sanctification. Positional is we are seen perfect in Christ. Glorification is perfect when we are with Christ. But practical is the life in which we're living right now. And we said it shouldn't look like a roller coaster, right? It should look a little bit more like a mountain climb, like you're ever growing and you're ever just getting closer and closer to the Lord. And we would all shake our head and we would all agree with that. Although our lives may sometimes look and feel like a roller coaster, how that we are not as sanctified or set apart as we should be. But practically, what does that look like in a Christian's life? See, I think sometimes we can spend a lot of time in the theological realm and we can understand these truths, but if we don't understand what it looks like in shoes, we'll leave here with more knowledge, but we won't even know how to express it in our own lives. And so, let me ask you this, what does a sanctified Christian look like? How do they act? What shows that they're sanctified? What proves to someone that they are sanctified? You can raise your hand. We'll just banter back and forth a little bit. What do you think? I'm not trying to trick you. Okay, well, old things? Let's be a little more specific. What are some of the old things maybe in somebody's life? Okay, boy, he's really hit already on where I was going to get to. I didn't think we'd get there that quick, but I'm going to put that on pause, okay, and go to some other areas that people look for sanctification. Now, I'll just cut to it since Samuel already kind of stole my thunder there. He did a good job with that. A lot of times we're looking on the outside, aren't we, to tell whether or not somebody has been sanctified. Now listen to me very carefully. I believe your sanctification will end up determining how you dress, how you look on the outside. There's no doubt about that. I've got some verses that I think will prove that out without a doubt. But I think we ought to be careful looking on the outside and trying to determine if somebody is sanctified or not. We can dress right, we can carry the right Bible, and still have a heart that craves and yearns after the world. So when we think about sanctification, isn't it true? We start thinking about standards. I think that's true. One of the first things we think about are standards, because we put, or should put, standards in our lives to help to keep us from sin. And so standards and sanctification oftentimes go hand in hand. But if you get the cart before the horse, what happens is you'll put standards in the place of sanctification. And when that happens, you're not walking with the Lord. You're just, really, it's called spiritual pride. You just want to say, look at how separated I can be. Now, should we be separated? Yeah, amen. So we talk about the separation. We talked about this practical sanctification. What are some things that we should be separating from? We say the world. What's part of the world? We got teenagers in here today, tonight. What are some things we ought to be separating from? Wow. Oh, Rebecca, brave one. No, that's not right. That's what everybody was afraid was going to happen, okay? So go ahead, Rebecca. I'm just teasing. Okay, she's saying places that promote worldly desires or lust. But again, I want to funnel that into some specificity. Let's just go ahead and name a place. I won't tell anybody. What do you think? Nathaniel? What's that?
Hollywood.
Don't go to Hollywood? So here's what I'm getting at. I think all of you have something in your mind. Maybe you don't want to say it, but we are dealing almost always and exclusively in generalities. And we stay at a place where we say we shouldn't desire the world. And so we think this world is some place and something that we never really even come in contact with. And we say, listen, we don't want to be a part of something that is going to cause worldly desires. That's true, and those are true. But what I just want to break through for just a minute is say, how does this actually apply and fit into our lives on a daily basis? On a daily basis, how are you going to help yourself to become sanctified? Now listen, the Spirit has to do the work as well, but you understand we are co-laboring together with God in that sanctification. We can't go to the bar. I'll just go say, you're not going to go to a bar and ask God to help you to be sanctified, okay? You're going to have to avoid that place and ask Him to help you to grow then. Brother Bill?
The Word of God.
The Word of God. That is the answer.
You're sanctified through that truth. The truth is the Word of God. So,
right.
By reading the Word of God, it convicts us and shows us things in our life that we need to do away with.
Absolutely. What are some of those things? Ms. Dana? Okay, so our sanctification certainly is going to be determined to some degree by what we allow into our eye gate. Is that right? Is that what you're saying? And so that's going to cause us then, she's talking about, she said magazines. I read, this has been years ago, Paul Harvey had a daily radio program, and he said at the time, Playboy magazine, I'm making up these numbers, but they had around, I don't know, 500,000 subscribers. I don't know where he got that information. But Reader's Digest at that time was worth reading, and they had about 100 million. And the Wholesome magazine at that time was Reader's Digest, and they had a much larger readership. And I'm just saying that was a reflection of our culture. I'm afraid today it'd probably be the other way around. But it ought to affect what we're going to place in front of us. So if we're talking about magazines, listen, there's a lot of magazines out there that do not have naked women in it that still shouldn't be on our coffee tables, right? So what is determinative? How are we going to decide what we're going to allow into our house? Well, whatever my mom and dad says is okay. Listen, that's dangerous. That's dangerous because one day you're not going to be living with mom and dad, young person. You're going to have to put some standards in your life. You see, listen, we talk about standards a lot of times and almost to the point where we think, man, standards is the answer, but I'm telling you, you do need to have some standards in your life. But not just because the preacher said, or not just because mom and dad said, although you ought to respect the standards they put in your life, you ought to get some standards. And listen, not just the young people, but everybody in here needs to have standards that help us to separate from sin so that we are what then? Sanctified. You see, when we break and go against what God has said, we are really doing the opposite of sanctifying ourselves, right? And so if we're not to put any wicked thing before our eyes, listen, we better make sure that what we're watching on a screen, or on whether it's a movie or a YouTube video or a Vines, or some of y'all don't even know what that is. I don't even know what that is, all right? But I've heard it. And I said, I'm just telling you, it doesn't matter what format it is, that the command is the same. Don't put anything that's wicked before your eyes. And so whether it's a magazine or a website or a movie or something on the television, the thing is all the way across. So what you do is you decide early on that says, listen, I'm going to make a covenant with my eyes, even as Job said. Why then should I look upon a maid, he said. So I'm going to be careful about what I allow into my eye gate. And it doesn't matter if you are 14, 44 or 84, you've still got to be careful about what you allow into your eye gate. And it doesn't matter if you are a guy or a girl. Now, we know that men are certainly more affected by their eyes, but that is not to say that women are not affected at all. And so all of us need to be careful and to put some walls of protection in our lives. But it's not just what we watch. It's not just what we're listening to. By the way, you wanna help yourself, go through your radio and put every station on something that would be pleasing to the Lord. I'm just saying, make it easy. Just find something that's gonna, because just the same as it goes into the eye gate, when it goes into the ear gate, it affects us, right? And so whether it's just on the radio or in your own personal music listening habits, you ought to put some hedge of protection in your life that's going to help you to please God. You know what that means? That means the world's music. I don't even know what the top 40 artists are. I hope you don't. I've heard one name bantered around, ungodly woman by the name of Lady Gaga. You know, when we talk about these people that have made it to the top of their profession, if you will, in this pop culture, you know, that should be a pretty clear sign that we need to avoid it. Listen, we got to be careful that the music we're listening to is going to help us to honor God and not take us in the other direction. Listen, that's 10,000 miles away from where God wants us to be. You know, I think about some of the different lists that we find in God's Word, whether it's Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21. We spent about 3 months in there, I think, on just looking at every individual word. But we look at the works of the flesh. Some of them are external, and some of them are internal. But we don't really need to classify necessarily. They're both sins against God. And whether we're talking about the physical things like adultery and fornication, uncleanness and lasciviousness, or just what's internal with idolatry and witchcraft and hatred and drunkenness. Listen, if you get mad when somebody cuts you off, you know what you have a problem with? Worldliness. Because it's the opposite of sanctification. Do you understand? That hatred, that wrath, that malice, that is the same as worldliness. It's not just what you're looking at, not just what you're listening to, but it is your whole spiritual walk with God. We like just to categorize that and say, listen, if I look right and I'm dressed right, then I must be right. That's a part of it, but that's not all of it. God's concerned about who we are, not just what we do. He goes on and talks about envyings and murders. Again, those are within. Drunkenness and revelings are without, and such the like. In 1 Corinthians, it goes on and gives us another list. It's interesting that many of these same sins are listed. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate. You know, what is that? Someone that is a little less than masculine, we would say. You know how many times you can tell someone is effeminate? It's the way they dress. Do you know, we look at the Old Testament and you can't pull just one-liners out of the Old Testament and say they apply to the church today. You can't go to the Old Testament law and say that that man should not wear woman's apparel. And everybody said amen, because, you know, we don't like that. But you can pull principles out from the Old Testament. And you know what the principle that you find in the Old Testament is? That God believes in gender distinction. And you know what he's talking about here is that the effeminate, those that are not exactly well, they're really bordering on homosexuality, okay? Today's term might be phrased metrosexual. And it just means someone that is confused, maybe, or what I'm saying is that I believe the principle found is in gender distinction, all right? Not just in dress, but in deportment. So you know what? Our standards ought to reflect what we believe about what God has said. So I just want to let you know, it's okay for a guy to look like a man today. It's okay for a young lady to look feminine. We have replaced in this culture, excuse me, but we have replaced femininity with the word sexy. I don't even like that word. But I'll tell you, that's what everybody is striving for in our culture as far as young ladies are concerned. And I want to let you know, young ladies, it's okay to be feminine. That's godly. That is good. So let me ask you a question. How can a boy look, instead of just throwing it out, how can a guy look masculine? What helps a guy look like a man? Well, a big leather jacket and, no, that's not what I'm talking about, Gino. Certainly the haircut's going to be a big part of it, right? Does God comment on our hair at all? What does he say about it? Don't have long hair, right? It's a shame for a man to have long hair. Jonathan? Okay, don't dress like a slob, right? Pull up your pants. Wear a belt. Don't wear skin-tight clothing. Wear clothes that fit. All right? Don't wear those things that are going to cause people to be confused about who you are as a person. Anything else for guys? Don't wear jewelry. How about that? Let me just take it a step further. I wear a watch and a ring, and I'm not the standard for everybody, but I'm just telling you, I used to wear a bracelet and a chain when I was in the Navy before I got saved. And I'll just tell you, I see that now, and I just think, boy, I don't know if he's carrying that from the store to his wife or his girlfriend because he doesn't want to lose it, but I don't understand it. But I just want to say, I don't think, certainly, in our culture today, guys ought to be wearing jewelry. Helps you be masculine, all right? Is there anything else? Here's what I say, grow a beard. No, what's that? Your wife won't let you. Amen, amen. Now, you understand when I say that, you understand that standards then can be a little subjective. I'm not the Baptist Pope. I'm not telling you exactly what has to be done. What I'm hoping to help you to do is to realize it's good to put some standards in your life and maybe some things that you could think about adding to your life. Ladies, what can you do to look feminine? To look feminine. Oh, I thought I saw a hand. I almost called, but I was just fixing the glasses. That's okay. Rebecca? Okay. How we act one towards another. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit if we have time. I think we're going to be out of time on this, though, to be honest with you. How else can we, ladies, look feminine? Guy said short hair. Does the Bible say anything about your hair? Is it covering? Do you think the way you wear your hair is can help you look more masculine or less masculine or more feminine or less feminine? That's right. Amen. Amen. Is there anything else? How can you look more feminine? I thought I saw a tumbleweed here. Ms. Haynes? Wearing skirts, wearing dresses. I think that really helps you look feminine. I can remember when I was before I ever got saved, Dennis Rodman showed up to a book signing wearing a wedding dress. And he looked absolutely ridiculous wearing this massive, he's about 6'6", I think he is, wearing this dress. He looked ridiculous. All right? And you say, that's crazy. Why? Because, you know what? When you see somebody in a skirt or a dress, they look feminine. They look feminine. I'll just take it a step further. I wonder, when you see somebody at Walmart that has long hair and a denim skirt on, if you're honest, one of the first questions you ask, I wonder where they go to church. That's more than just gender distinction, but I'll just lay that out there for you. And so all I'm trying to help you to see is that there are some things that we can put into our life that will help us to guard our walk with the Lord and help us then to be sanctified, to be set apart for God's use. Listen, this is not Word of Life, and I'm not Jane Whaley. Amen. We're not here to lay out and say, this is what you must do. But I promise you, I do say you must go to the Lord and ask Him, Lord, what do you want from me? Before you put that MP3 song on, you ought to say, Lord, is this acceptable in your sight? Before you look at that website or that news site or that gossip site, you ought to ask God, is this acceptable to you, O Lord? Just allow God to be the arbitrator and the judge. People say, you can't tell me what to wear. I'm not trying to tell you what to wear. But I do think it's ironic that Burger King has no trouble telling people what to wear. All I'm saying is, I think it's okay to look like a woman. I think it's okay if you're a woman. I think it's okay to look like a young man if you're a young man. And I think with the what they call the gender blender society in which we live, we ought to put some things in our lives that help us as men to look more masculine and to be more masculine. We have a whole society growing up without fathers in the home, and they don't even know how to act masculine. I think it's okay for us to put some things into our lives so that our young girls look like young ladies. There's nothing wrong with that. It's good. And I think it's pleasing to the Lord. But it's not just what we wear. It's who we are. Listen, the whole thing in Galatians, what about variance and emulations and wrath and strife? Just getting back to what Samuel was saying, it's not just the externals, although part of our walk will spill out into the externals. But what about the hidden man of the heart? What about those things that we do displease the Lord in the way that we treat one another? You know, I understand when rock climbers are getting ready to climb a rock face together, they'll tie themselves to each other. Do you know why that is? It's to keep the sane ones from going home. Well, they know they climb those because if one does fall, the other ones are going to be there and they should be locked in and connected to the rock to keep them from going astray. And the next thing that the Lord prays about is unity. I don't think we're going to get into that tonight, but I want you just to think about this idea of practical sanctification. Practical sanctification. Our daily walk with God. It's not just, it shouldn't just be a ritual. It's not it's just part of our life. Part of who we are is our walk in Christ. And so those things that we do, listen, I think we can have a great time as Christians. And I love I'm having the best time of my life doing what God's called me to do. Do you understand? We're not called to a life of drudgery. We're not called to a life of boredom. But I will tell you this, it's all about what you find your pleasure in. So we ought to be careful. Certainly about those things that we let into our lives. We ought to be careful about the hidden man of the heart. And realize if you are an angry person, if you are frustrated, if you have wrath and strife and seditions and envies, then you are worldly just the same as someone that has 100 piercings and you can't tell if it's a boy or a girl. I like what Ephesians 5, 10 through 12 says. It says, in verse 5, he gives a list. He says, "For this you know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." But by the time you get to verse 10, he says, "Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." We don't have to immerse ourselves in the world to understand that we need to avoid it. We need to purify, or to set ourselves apart, to be sanctified. You know, if you spend time in this book right here, I believe you'll come up with some standards, some things that will help you, just like we mentioned just a couple of verses tonight. But I think as you read those and you come into contact with the truth of God's Word, what happens, just like Brother Bill said, we are convicted about the things that we are immersed in, or the things that we're doing, or the way that we're conducting ourselves, and sometimes that even goes to the point of what we wear and how we deport ourselves, what we look like, even on the outside. I want to be careful not to make it all about what we look about like on the outside. But we can't avoid that discussion either. So my question to you is, what standards do you have? Everybody has standards. Did you know that? Everybody does. Some people's are just much, much lower than others. And some people are exceptionally high in areas that they were weak in before they got saved, or even maybe had a failure in their Christian walk. So I don't think there's a one standard fits all for everybody. But I believe God works in people's heart to help protect them from the sin that they are most apt to be that they're most apt to commit against God. I don't know where you struggle. I don't know where you are in your walk with God, but I know this. Everyone has standards, but you've got to ask God, did I get my standards from you, or from my parents, or from my pastor? Or do I just really have such low standards I couldn't even identify any? Listen, if God is against wrath and malice, why would we revel in watching others do that? Or why would we participate in a video game or immerse ourselves in some way that is doing nothing but murdering and killing people? I don't understand it. I'm just asking you to ask yourself, what are my standards? And then go to God and ask Him, Lord, what are your standards? Our goal is to be more like our position in our practice. And if we're going to be more like our position, as righteous as Christ is in this life, there may be some things we need to put aside. There may be some things that we need to incorporate into our lives. Reading God's Word, spending time in prayer, being where you are tonight in God's house. I wish it were as easy as printing out, I don't remember how many was on that list, 251 different rules that you could just check off and say, yes, I've arrived. I'm holy. But that's not what the Christian walk is about. That's rules and regulations. God wants us to focus on a relationship, our walk with Him. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You that it does sanctify us. And I pray, Lord, not just for the young people, but for all of us, that You would help us to look at our standards, that which we've put into our lives. Lord, help it not to be a source of pride. Help it not to be a source of spiritual pride, but Lord, as a fence to keep us from sin. Lord, to help us to be more set apart for Your glory and for Your use. Lord, I pray that You would help us to have those standards which are pleasing to You and will help us in our walk with You and our sanctification. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.